Mr. Chair, I'm Tom Pender from the House Research Department, and I'll be working off this little half-page thing here. This handout, it's on the table there if people in the audience don't have it. This lists the six differences between the House and Senate versions. And I'll just go through them quickly. Section 1 has a the House has a Section 9 that the Senate doesn't have, dealing with what are called combination policies, where a life insurance policy, a policy is sold that includes both life insurance and health insurance. And what this does is make an exception to that for policies that are not really full health policies, but are the kind of, for instance, specified disease policies like cancer insurance or an Aflac type policy that will pay you so many dollars for each, you know, if you're out of work or something like that. And this was a House floor amendment. Item 2 on the list here is the sections on surplus lines insurance, and I think I'll just skip that for now because I think we can whip through the rest of these more quickly. Section 3 has some minor wording differences in the Item 3 on my list mentions minor wording differences in the sections in the two bills that deal with Medicare Select coverage. There's one section in each of the bills, and there are some slight wording differences, and the House version is more recent language that we got from the Department of Commerce, and it just adds a couple of words in a couple of places to clarify that it applies to the issuer of the policy. There's a Section 37 that the House has and the Senate doesn't have, and this was put in the bill in the House in committee, and then on the floor it was replaced with a clearer version of it, and basically it involves who gets a notice of a life insurance cancellation for non-payment of premium, and basically says that it's the owner of the policy that gets the notice, and separates out existing language on health insurance to make clear the distinction there that the principle's different between health and life insurance, at the end of the bill, the Senate has a section repealing a definition of classroom hour, and the House doesn't have that. We were asked by the Department of Commerce to remove that repealer. I didn't have any long discussion with them about it, but I think it was because they still needed the definition, and I did look in the statutes, and there is a section that uses that definition of classroom hour. This is in relationship to continuing education, so I think that's why the department wanted to not repeal that definition. Then the House at the end of the bill has a section that simply moves an existing subdivision into a different section of statute, and that's really related to the surplus lines changes because that subdivision deals with surplus lines, and it gets moved into a section of statutes where it fits better, where there's other stuff dealing with surplus lines. So those are the minor differences. Then the House has sections 10 to 30 on surplus lines insurance, which the Senate doesn't have. And that's simply the Commerce Department asked that be put in the bill, and the House did that. So those are the six differences between these two bills.
All that stuff we did, but just cleaned up the repeal.
Okay. I had just one question for number six. That's just moving a subdivision. You said correct.
That's correct. Yes.
Well, what what we need is a brief explanation of the surplus lines and why that had to be added. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. John Reich from the Commerce Department. Mr. Chair, the Congress passed the Non-Admitted and Reinsurance Reform Act. I believe it was last year. This has been something that's been in the works for a number of years. And what essentially it did, there were two major provisions. And one was that it would only allow a home state of an insured to require any premium tax payment for non-admitted insurance. Currently, as I understand it, I'm by no means an expert on it, but as I understand it, the way surplus lines works is that if for non-admitted insurance, if you operate in one state or five states, let's say, they divvy up by some very complicated calculation the premium tax payments that are paid to each state, and this would clarify that a home state of an insured can collect the premium tax as opposed to it being divvied up among other states. The that doesn't mean that states will lose taxes. I think it the home state collects it, and then there are agreements that are going to be entered into among the states in order to receive the payments that they are due. That's my understanding of it. Secondly, no other state other than an insured's home state may require a surplus lines broker to be licensed in order to sell, solicit, or negotiate non-admitted insurance with respect to the insured. And so what it does is if you're a broker licensed in a state, you are allowed then to sell surplus lines in other states. So it makes it clearer and easier, I would assume, for brokers to sell surplus lines in other states where they're not licensed. In addition to that, in terms of regulation, the non-admitted insurance is subject to the statutes and regulations of the home state where it is domiciled, and so there's still oversight and things like that. It's not as if we are taking any oversight away. It's simply, I think, making it a cleaner system due to the nature of surplus lines insurance, and it's not an oddity, but it's not certainly something that is like property, like auto insurance or homeowners insurance. It's a different kind of insurance, as I understand it.
Mr. Reich, so was this required by Congress, or is this something we're putting in? That's the first question. Or is this something we're putting in because it will help comply, similar to the annuity law? Do that one first.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, that's correct. We have to comply by June 21st, I believe, of this year in order to be compliant. And the tax piece of it is being carried in the revenue bill, Department of Revenue's bill, as I understand it. And that is the much more complicated piece. Since the department has jurisdiction over insurance generally and surplus lines insurance, it does make some clarifying changes to that section of statute in order to be compliant. The lion's share of the compliance will happen over at the Revenue Department with respect to how taxes are paid and what premium taxes are divvied up among the insurers. So the tax implications aren't in this bill. That's in a separate bill. It's simply in order to comply, the department needs to have these changes in order to work with revenue in order to make it all work.
Mr. Reich, I have one more question I have to ask. So we had the hearing in the Senate. Why didn't this big chunk get in the Senate bill? I mean, it's a big chunk. Why didn't we see it there?
Excellent question, Mr. Chair. Members, when we started, the new administration started, there were a number of things that were, I guess, on the burner, as it were, and this was one of them. And there's a number of, you know, federal laws that are passed, and then states are asked to conform or required to conform in one form or another. And gentleman who was working on this issue and was the expert left for another job, which left no expert at the department on this issue. Therefore, we had a couple other staff take it on. And what we wanted to do and why it came late, Mr. Chair, was to vet the issue and try to understand completely what we were complying with. And because we had lost that institutional knowledge, it wasn't until a couple of months into my tenure at least, that we were comfortable with what we were complying with, and we knew what we were complying with. There are two models by which states are compacting in order to implement this. One is the NEMA, it's called, and one's called SIMPLACT, and they're acronyms for something that I don't know. But these are two different models by which you can comply, and different states are choosing NEMA, and different states are choosing SIMPLACT in order to comply with this. And we wanted to make sure that by complying, we weren't choosing one form or another, because each of them have different implications. And what we are doing is simply taking a wait-and-see approach to see. We want to comply with the language so that we're compliant with the federal law, but at the same time, see what's working around the country over the next couple of years in terms of what more specific form we want to take in terms of instituting this law. The Department of Revenue agrees with that assessment, and so that's the reason for it coming late. And I appreciate the indulgence on the House's part, and I wish we could have had it on the Senate side. And it's just a matter, Mr. Chair, of the administration turning over.
Thank you, Mr. Reich. Senator Gerlach?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just along on the same line, just so I fully understand, so the combination policies and surplus lines, that was brought forth by the department on the House side. Is that correct? It wasn't from somebody else. That was if you introduced the bill from day one, you said the bills would have been in there. So this is from the department?
Mr. Reich?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gerlach, in a perfect world, yes, the surplus lines language would have simply been in the bill. It was initially in the bill when I started at the department. But there was some, as I said, consternation among some of the senior management that what are we complying with? Let's strip it out, get the bill introduced, try to get a hearing, get it moving, continue to review this, and make sure that we were actually complying with something that we agreed with or wanted to. In terms of the combination policies, Mr. Chair, I understand that was brought by somebody other than the department.
Okay. Well, then, Mr. Chairman, if I could, what kind of debate was there in the committee Science, was there any opposition to it at all?
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Gerlach. I was going to ask anybody in the audience and ask the department. I'm not aware of any opposition to anything in the bill. As far as I know, it's all been vetted and agreed to by all parties everywhere, and I think we have what we elusively look for called peace in the valley.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Mr. Reich.
And thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The Surplus Lines Association of Minnesota is very supportive of this language, too, but given that it's Sunday night, I wasn't able to contact them and get them here. They office out of Mora, so that the timing wasn't okay for them. But they testified in the House that they supported it and think it's a good idea that we're complying in the manner that we are. And I have not heard, since this has been out there, since we had the Commerce hearing, of anybody who has any issues with it.
Thank you, Mr. Reich. Any further questions, Mr. Stang?
I was just going to point out that Senator Gerlach made a reference to the combo policies, and Senate Commerce did see that amendment. I think they attach it to the annuities bill, if I'm not mistaken. Mr. Franzen,
yes,
presented it, if I'm
right,
recalling it correctly, and
that
it did pass
correct
out of Senate Commerce.
That's correct. Any other questions? None? Senator Gerlach?
I could make a motion to move. I want to make sure that it's the right thing, but I think maybe you could start building the conference report if that's all right. I'd like to.
You may do that, Senator Gerlach.
Then I want to make sure I get the right sections here. Or if we are in agreement on the list of items that Mr. Pender has put forth, and I'm looking on the list here, and I see that. I'll just say that item number 5 on the classroom hour, Mr. Chairman, this is your bill, but I think it's okay to accept the House position.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Well, then, Mr. Chairman, I think what we can do is just accept the entire House language on this with one question. Item number 3 on Mr. Pender's list has to do with some language or just minor wording differences. Does it matter which side?
I do have a question on that.
So. Oh, okay. Then I'll hold off on any motion.
Senator Brown?
Yes, on the number 3 dealing with Medicare select plans, in the House language on line 21.21 on page R21, it says offered by the issuer. and that language is not in the Senate language. What is what makes the distinction there of which side we go with? If research has an answer to that.
Mr. Chair and Senator, I mean, that's correct. That's the only difference between the House and Senate versions is that language. And my recollection is that it came from the department and was more recent language, but I really can't explain why.
Is it language from CMS, do you know?
As far as I know, it's language from the Commerce Department, probably their health insurance experts.
Mr. Reich, you have something to add to that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The Senate language is the bill is introduced, and after the Senate hearing, we had gotten word from the Council of Health Plans that they had a little issue with that piece, and as is tradition with the Commerce Technical Bill, Mr. Chair, we don't like controversy, and so when there is controversy, we generally agree to either take it out or have a separate vote on it or do something like that. In this instance, they came to us and asked if we could tweak it, and we agreed to keep it technical and not controversial. Ms. Kmit could explain the change better than I could, Mr. Chair. Excuse me.
Sure. Welcome to the committee. State your name.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Catherine Kmit. I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota Council of Health Plans, and we want to say thank you for asking about this language. We do prefer the House language, and the reason for that is the way this technical clarification was written, it actually had the impact of requiring health plans to provide information about all Medicare supplement policies that are available in the marketplace today to the potential enrollees. The clarification in the House language simply requires us, and we're fine with this, to have to provide that information to enrollees for the products that we do offer, not for every single thing that our competitors might be offering. That actually should probably be a function that the Department of Commerce provides on their website. So this simply clarifies that we do have to provide all that information for all of the products that we offer.
And was Kmit?
Yes.
Thank you, Mrs. Kmit. Any further questions?
Mr. Chair, that's what we want. Okay. Minnesota doesn't offer as many different supplement plans as many other states do, so there wouldn't be a need.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Any other questions? If not, Senator Gerlach?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that being the case, and I think what we'll do is I'll just move the House language in its entirety into the conference report.
Senator Gerlach moves that we adopt the House language into the conference report. Any questions, comments? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Adopted.
And Mr. Chairman?
Senator Gerlach.
Let me just also conclude real quickly that I appreciate everyone meeting for this conference committee because I think it's going to be very helpful to you when you're on the Senate floor explaining, you know, a lot of the additional language.
17 pages?
You've got you've got the
Senator
testimony
Bach.
And such to help you get this through the Senate. So, well, Mr. Chairman, I have the A6 amendment that I would like to offer at this time.
Senator Gerlach offers the A6 amendment. Senator Gerlach,
while that's being passed out, Mr. Chairman, this is not that this bill is becoming any kind of a Christmas tree, but it is one of the last trains leaving the station. And I would ask that Claren come up to explain the amendment and why it is important for us to include. Thank you.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. McLaren. I pronounced that correctly?
That is correct.
Please restate your name for the record. Please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jay McLaren, and I'm the Director of Government Relations for Medica. And I appreciate Mr. Chairman and Senator Gerlach bringing the amendment to the conference committee for your consideration. This is an issue that has popped up for us, for Medica specifically, in the last couple weeks. As you can see, the language that is in the amendment under current law allows for our enrollees to get estimates from us as to what our contracted rates are with providers when they are going out and shopping for healthcare services, as well as their expected out-of-pocket costs. What has happened over the last couple weeks, unfortunately after committee deadlines, is that there is a group practice, which means that is that we cover, that we insure, saying that they should be able to, under this statute, get access to what we pay their competitors through this. So we have simply brought this law change forward to say that this is intended to help our enrollees shop for healthcare services, not to give information to group practices to help them leverage higher reimbursement rates. So that's the intent, Mr. Chair and members.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. McLaren or Mr. Reich, do you know of anyone that's opposed to this?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hoppe, we have shared this with Department of Commerce, Department of Health, the Minnesota Medical Association, members on both sides of the aisle, both bodies, and I know of no opposition.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, for the record,
Reich.
I haven't heard of any opposition either.
Any other questions or comments regarding the amendment?
Maybe that group practice. The opposition, except for maybe that group practice.
Okay. If seeing none, Senator Gerlach renews his motion to adopt the A6 amendment. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. Amendment is adopted. Any further amendments or discussion for the Senate File 45 as amended? Representative Sanders, seeing none, Representative Sanders moves we adopt the Commerce Committee report as amended. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Adopted.
You can adjourn your first.
I've been told we can adjourn.